For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. Midday Show, Hugh Douglas, Joe Gill, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. How are you feeling after that press conference? What a week for press conferences around here.
I'm optimistic.
Hopeful Hugh.
I just am.
Delusional Douglas. We got him with us today. All right, we'll get back to your phone calls here on all things Phillies. As yesterday, today's press conference here didn't bother me. I mean, it was. The Phillies one yesterday bothered me with Dombrowski just basically shrugging the shoulders like, hey, it's baseball. What are you going to do? Well, get better players. Figure it out. Shake the mix up. Don't act like you can't figure it out. And the one quote that I keep coming back to, and this is about their chase rate in the postseason, quote, it's not good, but it's not the worst.
That's not good, but it's not the worst.
Print the T-shirts. Phillies 2024, it's not good, but it's not the worst. The post-October, red
you gotta
October.
Start somewhere, man.
Start somewhere.
Yeah.
They have a $250 million payroll.
No, I'm just saying. I'm not justifying it, but I understand it to a certain extent. You have to start somewhere. Hey, I'm not the worst. I'm not the best, but I ain't the worst.
But you're supposed to be the best.
Yeah, you are.
That's the whole point.
It's you have to read the room. You definitely have to read the room.
You know what? On that, quickly, I thought as the week has gone on, Sirianni's gotten a little better handle on reading the room. Sunday, he read the room as bad as I've ever seen. Monday, a little bit better with the apology. Today, I thought was his best reading of the room.
He's been, I guess for lack of a better way of saying it, he's listened to the people in the room around him that has his best interests in mind, and his message has become clear. Mm. That's what I've noticed from it, because sometimes I get like that. Emotional, and my mouth talks faster than my brain, or the other way around, however it goes. And that's basically what he did. He was clear and concise today, and I think that was important because he is still the leader, and people mess up. Players mess up, man.
Yeah.
So he did a good job. He did a good job today at a press conference.
Everybody.
Why has Asai Reddick been on four of the freaking football teams? And you know what? It's since you wanted to play that, Kyle, that was my Coach Sirianni moment. But I'm okay now. But
I don't give a shit.
But hold on a second.
Yeah, I'm okay now.
There's a major difference.
What?
You're a talk show host. I think now obviously you got to watch what you say. But there's a thing where like once in a while we all kind of blow our top, right? Mm-hmm. It was entertaining. He's not a talk show host. He's the leader of 53 football players.
But can I say this? And this is going to be triggering. So I'm gonna tell you it's going to trigger you right
okay,
now.
Okay. All right.
He's human.
He's human.
The look you just gave. I'm just saying. That's the
We're
fallback.
We're all human.
That's the fallback.
We're all human.
That's the fallback. No, he's human. He had a moment, Joe. Get that man a pass. He had a moment. He had a moment. And he was caught up, and he lost it. He lost his lunch for a while.
He's human.
He's only human, of flesh and blood, a man. He is just a man living in his big blue world.
All right, let's get back to the phones here because we're going off the rails. TR is in Winfield. Hey, TR.
What's up, TR? He missed the moment.
TR, come on now.
I mean, come on.
You're better than that. John in Allentown. What's up, John?
Yep. What's up, guys?
How are we doing, man? John? John, you got to turn that radio down. Turn that radio down in the background, John.
That's you. It's your echo.
No radio. I'm outside, guys. Oh. There's no radio. Yeah. I'm running from somebody's dog or something.
Be careful, John.
Hey, man, listen. Yeah, I picture Sirianni, like, you know, remember the movie Taxi Driver? You know, in the mirror, shaving his head.
Yeah, Robert De Niro. That was a good movie.
I'm going to do things my way now. You know, I think they should search for Britney Spears' dad, see if he can take over Sirianni and, you know, take care of him or something.
because he's in trouble, that dude.
Yeah, it's not going well. Yeah, we're going the wrong direction here, John.
She had a nice run, though.
Who, Brittany or
Yeah, she
Nick?
Had a nice run.
She did have a good run, yeah. And then what
hey,
happened?
Guys, and about the Phillies guys.
Mm-hmm.
Like, anybody who wants to throw away their gear or anything, hey, let me know because, you know, I'll take it because that stuff's expensive, man.
That's what I'm saying. That ain't cheap.
Yeah, he ain't throwing that stuff away. He's just talking trash. Because, you know, my stuff is expensive, and I don't care what the Phillies do. I paid for that stuff. So, I mean, I'm going to have it for when they actually are, you know, play better. But I have to say, I have to confess, since I turned 30 years old and I'm 25 now, I have purchased a jersey every single year. Maybe not for myself, for one of my kids or somebody, but every year. I did not purchase one this year.
Wow.
Because I did, I'm like, who do I purchase a jersey for? I'm not turned on by anybody here. I already have the guys
turned on
that
That's
I like.
Crazy.
You know, so I didn't buy anything. You know, I just said, you know, I'm going to keep my money in my pocket. And I'm going to tell you, I think Dave's playing poker, and I could appreciate it some, but he should have put some kind of disappointment in his voice. Because it didn't sound like he was disappointed to me.
Well, that's what frustrated me about it. Just the tone yesterday. You got to read the room. That was interesting, that whole situation. Did I hear that right? I think John said, I think I heard him say, since I turned 30,
yeah,
and I'm 25 now.
You heard that.
Can
you
I know need what to find out on? That aging curve. I want to go on that one.
You know what else I'm stuck on
that?
Now? He didn't find nobody to see he was turned on by. What does that mean?
I don't know. Me neither. All right, let's go to Bruce in D.C. What's up, Bruce?
All right. Good afternoon, gentlemen. How's everybody doing?
Bruce,
today?
We're trying to keep it together in here. And we got Brittany Ani over here shaving their head. It's a lot.
Man, I'm sitting up here laughing, man. Y'all got me. Look, y'all trying. Hey, because I'm going to tell you, I had the doo-doo brown frown on my face, man, for a minute. You know, that, y'all got me laughing for a hot second before I start talking.
We've lost you.
Okay, stop.
Okay, I'm good. My bad, Bruce.
Go ahead,
I got
Bruce.
You. I got you, dog. I'm sorry.
No, it's all good. Well, look, I'll just start with, because I want to start with yesterday, and maybe I can get in a brief point about Sirianni, but, I was one of those fans. I'm going to tell you, I was just so, I'm still annoyed by that whole conference, because, you know, it's a shame when you get up here, and it's like you said, you got to read the room, you got to read who you're talking to. You're talking to the fans, and basically you just told the fans, you gave the fans the middle finger and say, you know what, nothing's going to change because they won the division, and unlike the other owners in the city that have made conscious changes, especially at the ire of the fan base, they're not going to do anything about it. And I just don't see where this thing, how this is going to play out next year. But I tell you what, you know, I'm emotionally invested, probably like many fans, and I'm going to tell you, we're going to come out with the same thing next year, and they're playing and their batting is still crappy. Or even if they start winning at the beginning of the year, I'm going to turn into a passive fan. I'm not going to waste my time, my money, and my energy if nothing is being done and we don't see any improvements at all. And that's basically where I'm at with the Phillies. And I love the Phillies. I want them to do well. But it seems like the management doesn't give a damn about – what needs to be done to fix this team?
Yeah, look, Bruce, it's not good, but it's not the worst. When you hear that from a press conference, it doesn't come across as they're dying to fix this. It's like, yeah, we'll figure it out. Yeah, we'll figure it out. Whatever.
Yeah, I mean, and it's crazy. I mean, but anyway, now on to Sirianni. You know, this guy, I'm going to tell you what my take is on. I'm going to tell you, I think that they're setting him up for failure. They said, you know what, we're going to let you pull the strings. And I'm going to tell you, they are one bad loss. I think that if we lose in this next set of teams that we don't have any business losing to, they take one more bad loss. Sirianni's out of there, and they're going to elevate Kellen to head coach. until the end of the year and see how this shakes out.
It could. But, I mean, Bruce, they rarely do this. Obviously, Chip was axed towards the end of the season, and Bruce, we appreciate it. It's not out of the realm. I mean, when you have a head coach, you know, jousting with fans on the sideline, you know, anything's possible now. Like, we've removed the normalcy from this season. We have gone to a different level here for
this
season.
And that's why it feels like Sunday's game is going to be huge. I know it's the Giants, but it's just huge because of the way that this team is going to respond. I hope they respond in a positive way.
Well,
I really, really do.
To the point of how people perceive them now, we got the news yesterday they've been flexed out of a game.
Yeah.
So next Sunday,
they're not the new hotness anymore.
No, next Sunday, the Eagles and Bengals in week 8 were scheduled as a 425 game. That's a big window, the 425. There's always like one big major.
It's only like, what, two or three games played that day, something like that.
And usually one of the networks has the standalone whole country season, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if it's CBS, they'll send Romo and Nance. If it's Fox, it's obviously Brady. And that was the Eagles. I don't know if that was supposed to be CBS or Fox next weekend, but either way, they were either going to be the Brady game or the Romo game next Sunday.
Who did they get flexed out for, though?
The Commanders Bears.
Man, Joe, I can't lie. If I wasn't working, that's the game that I would want to tune into.
Well, now we get to watch it because we watch the Eagles at one and then Commanders Bears at four.
Because you have two young, up-and-coming quarterbacks that just got into the league that one looks like he is something special, and the other one is starting to come into his own. And y'all know just by my description which one I'm talking about. Because Jaden Daniels is the young man that came in, and Joe – I hope you put some money on it, because he looks like the Commodores might be all right.
Yeah, they are, and they're a problem for us. But so that game was flexed in. But that says a lot about where the networks think this Eagles season is
and
going.
Caleb Williams had a nice couple of weeks, last couple of weeks. Yeah.
Yes, so that was flexed out. I think we also may be getting that Jaguars game flexed out of Sunday night.
Yeah,
2 weeks
trying,
from now.
Ain't nobody trying to see the Jaguars. They don't even want the Jaguars to come back to the States. They left them in what, the UK?
You think they'll leave Doug there if they lose this weekend to the Patriots?
He might want to stay for a little while. He might pull a who did it? Who was the coach that left and was in the bar with the little lady?
Urban Meyer.
He's going to pull a Urban Meyer. Y'all remember that?
Of course.
Urban stayed up and had some young lady. He was at the bar. She was just sitting there talking to him. And his family doubled down and backed him up.
Is Sirianni yelling at the fan the wackiest coach thing since Urban Meyer stayed at the bar with the lady instead of flying home with the team? I'm not saying it's as bad. That was the Urban Meyer thing is worse.
You said Sirianni with the fan?
Like, is this the wackiest head coach moment since Urban Meyer did that in the NFL?
I can't think of one off the top of my head. There's almost no way.
Well, what else we have? I mean, before that was Dan Campbell saying we're going to bite kneecaps in his opening press conference.
That was more funny than anything.
Yeah, it was a little unhinged, but it was funny. Like, what else have we had? Maybe I forgot one. Like, a wacky head coach moment. Because that's what we got on Sunday, right? It was, like, we'll talk about this years from now.
Sirianni yelling at Chiefs fans. Sirianni yelling.
Now we've developed a theme. And that's the problem.
He ain't right. He what my ancestors, mm-hmm. the old ancestors, would be like, he touched. He's turched. They don't say touch. They say turched.
He's turched.
Yeah, he's turched.
Well, I need him to turch his way to a win on Sunday over the Giants.
I love this.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Where else do you get to listen to Britney Spears and talk
about
football?
Every day, and use words like "turst" and everybody out there listen. Like, what the hell does that mean? What is that?
I think once a day that happens on this show. All right, can we, you know, we haven't done a little while here.
About Jerry?
Well, no, we'll get to Jerry. I think we need to do a little What If Wednesday based on what I heard yesterday. What If Wednesday, sponsored by Popeyes. It's football season in Philly, so fly Popeyes, fly and fill up on wings in 7 delicious flavors from Popeyes.
It's time for What If Wednesday.
I got one before you give the one that you want.
What do you got?
What? I don't know which way you go. No, I'm going to let you get yours first because I would mess it up in case. Uh-oh.
All right, how about we'll end with yours.
In case I wasn't paying attention in the meeting.
We'll end with yours,
in
all right?
Case?
In case I forgot. You know, sometimes, you know.
Well, that meeting was 3 hours ago, so that's a long time ago. All right, so I was listening to this yesterday, and it got me thinking about a what if. Obviously, what if Trey Turner, and what if this whole thing wasn't happening? But first, let's listen to yesterday. Good job, Tim Kelly. You know, he brought the facts at Dave Dombrowski. He didn't, I don't think he handled them quite well enough. Here was the back and forth yesterday.
Dave, by old and new school metrics, Trey Turner has really struggled defensively since coming here. Will he remain at shortstop moving forward?
Well, when you say that, his metrics are very similar to what they were before he came here in many ways. So Trey has been, he will be our shortstop, yes. He's going to be our shortstop the coming year. But we also feel that sometimes you have to be careful with some of that. And I'm not sure which metrics you're using, but they're not always 100% the defensive. We rely on defensive metrics, but there's also not a perfect way of describing the defensive aspects of the game as far as we know. He did not have not an outstanding defensive shortstop. He does have good range. He makes really good plays at times. But he also makes too many errors at points. But he has improved. He's worked hard, and I wouldn't be surprised if he continues to improve despite his age.
Well, in terms of errors, defensive runs saved, outs above average, he has gone in the wrong direction the last couple of years. Why do you think that will change as he ages?
Well, he works hard. I mean, first of all, he's the rare player, and one of the reasons when he signed for a long-term contract, he's very athletic. And so his speed is still very good. He's still one of the fastest guys in baseball, so I don't think you can compare his aging process to, let's say, the average player. But he's a guy that's just very athletic. He works hard. He's got a good infield instructor in Bobby Dickerson. We saw some strides ourselves this year on some things that he improved upon. So that's why I think he'll get better.
So it's a couple things there. One, heck of a job by Tim Kelly. I mean, I'm not sure if Dave realized Tim was had the numbers ready, and then he brought it right back. Second thing, you know what falls on deaf ears? The he works hard thing. That's great. They all work hard. I mean, like, I expect that. Isn't that an expectation of a player like Trey Turner? He's of course he works
hard.
That
was kind of the mantra when we met him. He was talking about how hard he worked and how he prided himself on his work ethic and all. Yeah.
I've never questioned that. I think Trey's trying his hardest. The problem is he's not very good at it. I mean, that's the problem. And I took issue with this. So Dombrowski responded by saying his metrics are similar to when we got him, but he really hasn't declined that much. So my thought is, and my question would be back then, why did you sign him to this contract? Why did you think he could play shortstop for 10 years or 11 years if you already kind of saw this that we are now seeing here as fans, you know, up close for 162 games a year? So that drove me crazy. So it made me think about today's what if you. What if the Phillies never signed Trey Turner?
Then you would probably have, you know, nobody to be mad at all the time and complain about.
So I'd be happier?
Yeah, I don't know. You wouldn't have nothing to talk about.
Be a different target.
That's probably true, too. Yeah, Kyle's right. We'd find someone else.
Well, he's in the crosshair. He would be in the crosshair.
You know what we would have? So last year, they offered Yamamoto $300 million, right?
Yeah, he didn't want to come.
Okay, but they offered it to him. So they have that money. They gave $300 million. What's 300 plus 300?
Six.
What's Soto going to cost?
More than six.
But six-ish.
But somewhere, six around. Uh-huh. There's somewhere you're going to be in that ballpark.
Just saying.
I mean, I'm not mad at it.
What if?
I'm not mad at it.
What if? I think we'd be in a better spot. All right, what was your what if, Hugh?
My what if Coach Siri and I would have actually lost to the Browns Sunday? How would our Monday look, and what would he do?
Well, our Monday would have looked like Kellen Moore's the new head coach, because get this guy out of here.
I wonder how much, because I'm thinking now, because Coach Sirianni, in my opinion, he was clearly flummoxed before the game started. And he clearly went at a fan. My question is this. If they were losing, number one, does he go after the fan? And number two, if he does, how does that carry over into the press conference after the game?
Wait, go after the fan after a loss?
Yeah.
Oh, you might as well just
because,
put the resignation
in there.
That's
what I'm saying, because at that point, you know, you Jerry Jones in this thing now. You just blowing this thing all the way up. You know what I mean? Because that's where you are. Because you've lost. You're about to get asked some tough questions. I don't think the kids will be out there then, because at that point, you might as well come out at the press conference with your shirt off, dog. Because this is a wrap. You might as well just go ahead and take your shirt off and sit and have a cold one. Because your next stop is the crib.
Listen, if
he's coming back to the
if he shows up to a presser without a shirt on, just get the security officer to escort him out.
I mean, if I'm gonna go full, if I'm gonna go unhinged, I'm going full on unhinged.
Well, you so you,
after you lost to the Browns, I ain't nothing else.
You brought this up. Well, here's a what if for you.
Right.
What do you think would have been worse, the loss to the Browns or the week we had with the win? I think it's better to lose the game if you're him. Like, let's say, like, would he have gotten crushed more this week for losing a game? Like, coaches lose game all the time.
Definitely.
No, I think this is worse.
No, Joe.
Because if they lose, we could blame the defense.
No,
we could blame Jalen.
No, because he's going to catch a lot. Like,
I think this
is worse
than a loss.
We're still talking about him beefing with, like, he still cut his hair. That happened before the game was.
That's true.
And I'm saying, what if he's still beefing with, like, he was beefing with the fans?
Well, if they lose, he doesn't have the "I told you so"
right.
moment with
he
the fans.
He doesn't, but the fans still yelling and screaming.
Right, but
so
we don't know about
say,
that
well,
because that's
okay.
probably just happening.
But
anyway,
he's probably still going to come unhinged.
Maybe
that probably still going to happen.
He still
I'm telling
did
you,
cut
dog.
I'm just saying, what would you rather for a whole week hearing people say about you nationally? You're bad at your job, or you're a clown?
You know, I wouldn't, because I would have came if it was me. I'm coming out with my shirt off and a beer in my hand, and I'm a drop a few. You know, colorful words, because I know I'm done.
Well,
at that point, it's blown up, dog. It's a wrap.
I guess the audience now knows what Hugh's final show on WIP one day will sound like.
Why has Hassan Reddick been on four of the freaking football team?
Topless, drinking hand, cursing up a storm.
If you're going to come unhinged, if that's my last day, my mantra is make it a memorable one. Go all in. Put some chips all the way to the end of the table.
This is why radio hosts usually don't get a last show, because of exactly what you just said.
I'm making it uncomfortable for everybody. I'm cursing on there. I'm calling people. Because at that point, I'm probably done in radio. I'm probably done, so I'm going to blow it up.
And Hugh Douglas just keeps working.
But I'm not there yet. So, you know, I'm just saying. I'm not going to do it. But if I did, oh yeah, I'm going hard in the paint.
Well, you're actually making me more excited for the Sirianni press conference the rest of the season. What more could happen? Tune in. 215-592-9494. We'll continue to take all your phone calls on the Phils, what you heard yesterday. Did it bother you? That press conference yesterday, specifically in Nebraska, I didn't really have a problem with Topper, what he had to say. I'm glad he's back. I'm a Topper guy as a manager. I wanted him back here, but it was Nebraska yesterday. A little flippant, and again, the quote, "it's not good, but it's not the worst" about their chase rate in the postseason is such a non-championship quote. It's not good, but it's not the worst. How about we get to be the best? I mean, that's the goal. Figure that out. Elliot's going to join us next. He said something yesterday. We can't just let go the way it was. We got to investigate it more. Your calls as well. Midday Show, Sports Radio 94.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.